Curtis and Alyssa and our church family. And we are looking forward to this. This is something we have been planning for, seems like a long time. I think I told Larry last night, we actually started this process 3 years ago. And it's good to take your time. And it is good to be here seeing God show himself to us as a church and providing leadership for the future. So thank you for coming. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, tonight, thank you for your love, your care. Thank you for your presence. And we ask that you would grant us your presence tonight as we go through this service. And again, providing leadership for the church, providing men who are willing to be mentored and trained and willing to take on into the next generation the leadership of the church. And I pray that you would bless each one that has a part tonight. Open our hearts as we listen, as we hear, that you would give us what we can use in the days ahead. We ask that you would be with each part of the service tonight and give us your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Brian is going to come and lead us in two songs, and then I will get back up and go through the order of the service.
Take your faith and praise, number 122. Number 122 in faith and praise. One of my topics from this morning has come from a difficult show. Someone said, there's an app for that. Sure enough, there it is. So,
since the love of God is shed, Christ has blessings on my head.
He is glory.
The order of the service tonight will be different since we are not having the lot. So the actual commissioning and charge will be given at the end of the service. So I will have a short devotional and then Bob will come and bring the message. And then we will do the charge. If you want to just listen, you may. If you want to turn to what I'm going to read, you can turn to Acts chapter 6. Just looking at the first couple verses. And I know that as a church, you've heard this passage quite a bit over the last 2 years. And again this weekend. But as I thought of where we are tonight and how we have come to this place, when you have a group of men who are qualified, who meet the requirements, how do you choose? How do you find God's will? And I want to just look at that just a minute. And I will say that as a church, you have taken that responsibility serious. You have not only been willing to give names, but you were willing to let your name be in the pot too. And that's part of what God wants from all of us. He wants us all to serve and to serve where we are best used. Tonight, you may have not been chosen this time, but you still need to serve. It doesn't change your position. It doesn't change who you are. You are a person who has a mission. And the best thing to do is find that mission and keep doing it. And I'm just going to look at verse 3, where the disciples came and said, you know, we've got way too much to do here. We need help. And they went to the church and they said, we want you to choose 7 men. Now, they needed 7. We didn't need 7. 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. And that's in the NIV. The ESV says, 7 men who have a good reputation. And I think the King James says a little bit of the same. Men who have a good reputation, who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And tonight I want to speak to you as a church and just say, you know, I look across this group and I could choose more than one. I would have a hard time trying to decide who that should be. And you allowed God to lead. And tonight, that has fallen on Curtis and Alyssa and their family. And we want to honor that tonight in all that we do or say. We want to honor God and thank Him for His leading. I just encourage all of us to continue with the path that God has given us. He's given every one of us a job to do, here and at work. And we can do it well. Bob, why don't you come and we'll pray, and I'll just pray with you. We'll do it all at once. And then you will take charge of the rest of the service. Father, tonight I just again want to thank you for men who are willing to come to help, to serve, and to serve us here at New Holland. And I thank you for Bob and the time that he has spent with us, the time that he has spent serving this church. And I pray that you would bless him for that. Tonight as he comes and as he shares the message, as he leads the giving of the charge, I just pray that you would give him the strength, give him the ability to do the job that you've given him to do. With clear heart and clear mind, to open our hearts to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Bob.
Say good evening to you, and it's good to see a goodly number of people out. We appreciate that very much. And I had not talked to Brother Dale before about what he was sharing, but his thoughts are much along the same line as mine, which I think that's from God, that he would have me to speak on something along the same direction. And it has to do with accepting the call to leadership. I'm going to look at 4 particular men that you're all familiar with, and that's Isaiah, Samuel, Moses, Apostle Paul, briefly at each one of those. But I wanted to say at the onset that all men, in my opinion, are called to some level of leadership, somewhere in their lives. And I'm not saying it because it sounds nice to say. I really believe that. Whether it be fathers or husbands, leaders in the home, in the workplace, working with young men, with a youth group, and I want to put a pitch in for that. Brothers, young men need to be mentored. Now, sometimes they realize it, and sometimes they don't realize it, but they do need to be mentored. So having a boys' club, a young men's club, where you go out and do things together, it's fun for them, and campfire talks around there about God and about their soul is very important to do. And I believe to a certain sense, even sisters are called to lead out with other sisters, youth, children at times. So accepting a call of leadership in some way, shape, or form. Now, as Dale alluded to, Jesus has called all of us to come to Him. He has all of us to labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, and I will help you. I'll relieve you of the burdens of sin that you have. I'll help you find peace for your souls. When we receive a call from Jesus, we go. And Jesus also calls us to discipleship, with a life of service, whether that's on the mission field or here at home. Both are important. From time to time, as we know, God calls certain men, brothers in the church, into leadership in the church. And God has led us this weekend to a time we are now at, to a brother to be called to the great work of a deacon. Now, it's not that the brother is great, but the work is great. It truly is. The work of itself, in and of itself, because God has ordained it such that we would have deacons among us, or ones that would serve as deacons. Sometimes in smaller churches, the pastors serve as deacons, and that's fine. It's always easier for a person to accept a call to leadership if the call is sure. How do I know God's calling me? And I want the message. Of course, it's first directed toward Brother Curtis this evening, but it's applicable to all. How do I know if the call is sure? Is it from the Lord? Each man, I believe, each brother must have some level of personal call to serve or to lead. And without a personal call to do so, most men will not last long in leadership. That's been my experience. That's been my opinion over a period of time. A personal call. Sometimes that call is not always clear, and sometimes it's confirmed in the voice of the church, either by verbal or by lot. But it becomes a calling to an individual. Because when the times are tough, when it's rough, and there are many joyous times as a pastor and leader, absolutely, many joyous times. But there are sometimes it's difficult, where there's conflict in the brotherhood, where they're trying to work through two different opposing views, and you spend sleepless nights thinking about it and praying about it, and you agonize over it. That's not really pleasant to go through. It's in those times, I think, a brother needs to feel a sense of call, that God called me through the church to serve this purpose. And I think, Brother Curtis, you can take that with you tonight, at least, when you leave. Now, as we progressed through the weekend, it became very clear to us that Brother Curtis was being affirmed to the voice of the church. As Dale also alluded to, you have a number of brothers in the church, I think, could fulfill responsibilities like this. But Brother Curtis's name came up sufficiently great enough that it was clear that that's the direction we should take. God has laid his hand upon our brother, in a spiritual sense, to serve the church as a deacon. Now, choosing leadership among us is not and should not be, as I said Thursday night, a popularity contest. That has caused problems in the church work in times past. It should be choosing those who are honoring God in their life, those that are attentive to Scripture, and have leadership qualities. In the case of a deacon particularly, and a pastor's as well, is to serve other people's needs. You can't start that on day one after you become ordained or licensed as a deacon. You can't do that. It should be who you are. As members of this body of believers, you have spoken collectively confirming the need for a deacon and that Brother Curtis would be the man for the role at this hour. No man in and of himself is perfect enough to be a godly leader, and that certainly, absolutely includes myself. In and of myself, I am not good enough, quite frankly, and you're not either. Our inner strength, our ability to remain faithful is not enough on my own. We need God's presence in our lives even to remain faithful, and it's sort of sad. Now, you'd think we could at least do that, but I can't do it without God, without the Holy Spirit's presence. I can't. I want to, but I can't do it on my own. So we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us and be communing with Him from day to day as He would give us direction. You know, Brother Curtis, one of your prayers should be that God will give you the courage and the inner well-being in Christ to be faithful to the task that lies ahead of you. He'll give you the grace you need from day to day, and you have brothers in the leadership team you can talk to, you can interact with. You have brothers in the church that are good friends, good brothers that you relate it to. You're not alone. Sometimes you may feel alone, but you're not. You just reach out to those that can help you stay faithful. Now, knowing these things causes a man, if he feels the call, to accept a leadership role with great humility. And you commit to serve the needs of the people around you as they've asked you to do, and you want to do it by His grace and His help. Now reflect for just a moment. When we truly hear of God's call in our lives, what choices do you have? Really, what choices do you have? Well, you could refuse it. You could refuse it. I hope you don't, but you could refuse it. Or you could accept it by God's grace, and I think that's what we do. And I ask the question, how can we ignore God's call in our lives, whether it be in a father, a husband, a workplace, a boys' club, mentoring young men, young women? How can we ignore God's call in our lives? He wants us to do that as his disciples. We see several men's responses to God's call in the Bible. And consider some of those examples with me this evening. In Isaiah's vision, it's recorded in Isaiah 6. If you want to turn to chapter 6 of Isaiah, I'd invite you to, if you care to. Isaiah chapter 6. Verses 1 to 8. In a familiar passage, I know, but we'll read that tonight for the power of God's Word to speak to us. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, Isaiah speaking of himself, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now a man cannot go forth in leadership if he has not taken care of the relationship with Jesus Christ. Personal Savior, personal Lord, Master of our life. We fail, we mess up at times, but that should be our intent. And we see here where Isaiah said, "How I can't do this thing. And the seraphim touched his lips and it purged his lips with that coal, and that iniquity is taken away. I see that today is Jesus' blood upon our lives. We become Christians and ask Him to forgive us of our sins and to come into our hearts and our minds as the Holy Spirit can and will do. It's a sense of purging and helping me to do what I can. And then Isaiah said in humility in verse 8, Here am I, send me. Here am I, use me for your glory. For the work of the church, for the sake of the people. And I think that should be true for every one of us here tonight, but it's particularly true for leaders. One might think immediately, I don't feel qualified. I want to do it for God, but I don't feel qualified. Someone else could do a job better, we might say. I might fail or mess up at the very least. But despite all those feelings, we can still say, Here am I, send me. Because it is provisions. Because of what Jesus can do through our lives and the Holy Spirit can do. So tonight, Brother Curtis has been called to serve as deacon. In the months and years to come, maybe you as one of you brothers, young or older. Will you say, Here am I, use me, even all my weaknesses, with all my failures in the past, I want to be faithful to God and I'm willing to do that. I surrender my will to you, Lord. Here's my heart. I'm willing. Those are the kind of questions you should be asking yourself, even though you may not be sitting in the front of the church this evening for licensing for deacon. We recall how Samuel heard the call of God in his life while he was living in the house of Eli. Look at his response in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Again, familiar to you, but if you care to turn to it, you're welcome to. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And in this passage, verse 1, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And here the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go and lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Samuel was saying, "Here am I. I'm here, Eli." Now, he didn't know he was talking to the Lord. "Here I am. How can I help you? What do you need?" He had a willing heart. It goes a long way in leadership. A willing heart. And then at the instruction of Eli, and good instruction, he said, "Speak, for your servant heareth. What do you want from me, God?" And we know the story he gave was sad and pitiful for Eli and his sons Hophni and Phinehas. But my point is that Samuel had a message from God. When is the last time you, brothers and sisters, when have you prayed in such a manner? "Here am I, God." I'm not talking necessarily in church, it works there too, but I'm talking about when you're by yourself and you're out on the road driving, or if you're walking through the woods in nature, or go out on a fishing boat somewhere. Sometimes I pray a lot on a fishing boat when I'm out there by myself. I'm talking when you can commune with God. "Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do? Just tell me. Make it clear to me, Lord, and I will do it the best I can." I ask you, when's the last time you did that? Young and old. I believe God would have us to ask that question. I truly do. When God calls a man today, is it really any different? We may not hear an audible voice like Samuel did, but we can hear it through the affirmation of the church, or by the lot in some cases. When you're asked to fulfill a role in church, Sunday school teacher, or youth sponsor, or trustee, or whatever. And sometimes you can't. I understand that, you understand that. But some people seem to answer, and I have no one here in mind, I don't know you that well, they always say no. They always have a reason they can't do it. I've known people like that, I really have. Perhaps you do too. What is your desire? "Here I am, Lord, use me, send me. How can I help out, God?" That's what God is looking for, a willing heart. A similar event occurred with Moses when he was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. He came upon that burning bush. You remember the story? And there was a fire. It wasn't burning up. Moses turned aside from his work to see this great sight when the Lord called to him from the burning bush, saying, "Moses, Moses." That's when Moses properly responded, "Here am I." It's in Exodus 3, same language. "Here am I. What do you want, God?" When God calls any of us to serve in His kingdom, whether it's a minister, a deacon, a layman in the church, dare we respond in any other way than, "Here am I. Send me. Use me." We can only have peace, in my personal experience and what I've observed in church work, we can only have peace, true peace, when we feel that we are in the center of God's will. Not doing something that we think we want to do, but what does God want me to do? And I would admit, sometimes that's hard to figure out, especially for younger people. What do you want me to do? To have an open mind and an open heart to Him. Often God seems to call a person in the busiest times of their life. He does. And He does. He calls busy people to do His work. Consider what Peter and Andrew and James and John were doing in fishing. Consider what Matthew is doing, collecting tax. Luke is a physician. They're all busy when God called them. When Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishing, busy, when Jesus walked up to them and said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He called them. And they straightway left their nets, the Bible says, and followed Him. God expects and wants that response from us. For the last example I have, let's look at a passage that's in Acts 9, chapter 9, and right away you'll recognize that, having to do with the Apostle Paul. Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 1. You see what his response was to Christ's call in his life. Chapter 9, verse 1 reads in this manner, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now it took a really wake-up call to Paul, the Apostle Paul. When the Lord came to him on the road to Damascus and got his attention, Saul, Saul, why do you keep kicking against the pricks? I'm calling you. I need you. I want you to take this great work. And we know what a great work Apostle Paul had. What would our Bibles look like without the writings of Apostle Paul? He says, Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Use me. What would you have me to do? Tonight, as we approach the time when we hear the vows made and the charge given to our dear brother, can there be a better response than the words that Paul uttered? Lord, what would thou have me to do? I can't refuse you. I don't want to refuse you. I want to serve you. I'll tell you, in my mind's eye, what is more important to me than my personal call, and that's important, to serve, or even the various ordained men that are here, their calling, it's important. What is more important to me is to bring glory and honor to God's name through the church, to be available for the work of the church. What better way to bring Him the honor He deserves than for us as redeemed people, ordained or not, licensed or not, young or older, brother and sister, married or single, to turn my eyes toward heaven, our hearts toward Christ, and say with heartfelt conviction, Here am I, send me. Here am I, use me. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, God forbid that anyone here tonight will turn away from the call of God on their lives. However, as we know, we are here tonight to set into motion God's specific call to leadership in Brother Curtis's life. Brethren, he will need your prayers, your love, and your loyalty. Now, loyalty does not mean to cover up or compromise sin, because leaders can sin, leaders can fail. That's not what I'm talking about. But give them their loyalty. It's a beautiful picture to me, but not always done in my experience with people. Is that I will protect my brother's integrity until it is proven to me otherwise. That means if someone has gossip or some statement that is negative toward Curtis or your other leadership team, you say, wait, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I'm sorry you feel that way, but let me check with them. Let me talk to them. Show your loyalty. It does not mean you're covering up sin. It does not mean that you're going to compromise scriptural teaching. Absolutely not. What it does mean is that you're loyal to each other. And I think that goes beyond the ministry team. I think that's true for the brothers and sisters of the church, that you're loyal to each other. You have each other's back. God would want that. He needs your prayers and your love and your support. And for that matter, Brother Dale and Brother Irvin and Brother Harley need it as well. A few words to Brother Curtis's wife, Alyssa. There is no question, as we alluded to earlier this weekend, that the spouse is a vital part of the pastor, the deacon that's being called to serve. Absolutely. Without any doubt or hesitation on my part, your husband will need your love and he'll need your support, perhaps in some ways more than the church can even give, that you can tell him what you think. I've said this before, and it's sort of hard to imagine when President Trump was in office, and now it's President Biden and President Bush earlier than that, and Barack Obama. When the day was done and all the countless decisions they had to make, and some of them very difficult, when they went and lay down and put their head on a pillow, turned and said, What do you think, hon? What do you think about that? Pillow talk's what I call it. Back and forth communication. And all couples have that. So Alyssa, that's a very important part of your role, is to be a sounding board, give your opinion. But then after you give your opinion, let it rest. And I've run into this over the years of doing this type of work. And sometimes the wife wants to dominate the husband. I'm not implying you will, and I certainly hope you don't, but sometimes they do. they not only have opinion, they want you to do it that way. And that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be a person of integrity, say how you feel, give your opinion, and then say, I'll leave it up to you as a decision. Because he is the husband, he's a father, and in this case, he's a pastor, minister here in the church. So I think that's important to relate to this evening. When you pray for your ministers, pray for their spouses, because they're very important to them and their role and work in the church. Curtis, as important as God's work in the church is, do not, and I say this publicly for a good reason, do not forget to nurture the relationship you have with your wife and your children. Do not. Pray to God give you wisdom on how to find that balance, and that is difficult to do. Balancing the needs of the family with the needs of the church. After tonight, you'll still have your best friend in life, and that's your wife, Alyssa. She's by your side. She's your best friend, and rightly so. After tonight, your children, Carter, Brooklyn, Jameson, and Violet, will still need and desire you to be their father, their daddy. Time needs to be made for them. God does not want you to be successful as a deacon brother and fail to be a loving husband and father. And you don't have to be. Just trying to find that right balance and asking God's grace to be sufficient to help you do both well. Your wife, Alyssa, and your children will find there will be times you need to be about God's work. That's been alluded to this weekend as well. There are times you simply have to be about it, whether it's visiting somebody who's about to die or someone deathly sick, or if it is in preparing a message. There's sometimes you have to be about God's work in the church. But I encourage you to make special times to be with your wife and to be with your children. That is not interrupted by everything that people call you about. And you simply tell them, I hear what you're saying, sister so-and-so, and I will address that. We're having some family time tonight, and I'll get right on that tomorrow. And then make sure you follow up. Don't just say that and not do it. But that tells your children something. That tells your wife something. We're important, too. I know the church is important, but we're important, too. And Daddy's making time for us. He promised to take me to a ball game tonight, and we're going to go. Unless it's life-threatening. If it's life-threatening, hopefully your children and spouse would understand. This is a life-threatening emergency. But don't do that all the time. Sometimes you may have to say no to people who ask you to come right now or call right now. And that's hard for me. For my personality is nuts. It's very hard for me to do that. But it's very important to do that. Don't let your wife and your children feel they're always second to someone else and have to take the leftover time. On the other hand, Alyssa and children, you need to respect and honor Dad's calling tonight. The church is asking to be a deacon, be one of the ministers here. And there's sometimes he may need to have that special time with God that he needs to be alone with that aspect. You can pray for him. You want him to do the work of the deacon in the church well. Now, in light of that, I'm going to ask the children, and don't be embarrassed, children. It's very important to us because I think Larry referred to it this morning. It does not mean because you become a preacher's child that all of a sudden you got it all put together. You know what to say and what to do and how to act all the time. And I know that's not the case. You look around at a bunch of people here and tell you that's not the case. We don't expect that. We want to pray for you now. So I'm going to have you come up front here, and Brother Irvin, would you come up? There's a microphone up here somewhere close by. And then Brother Dale, if you'd hold that microphone with them, and just up here in the center, and have you pray for these children as your grandchildren. Now, you're the pastor, but you're also, these are your grandchildren.
Father in heaven, we again are grateful for your blessing and your presence with us. And we thank you that we can look to you to guard and to guide and to protect us. Tonight, I'm asking that you would be with Carter, Brooklyn, Jameson, and Violet in a special way in their lives as their family dynamics change somewhat. And some things in their lives as well. I pray, God, a hedge of protection over them and that you'd keep them from the evil one. I pray that you'd help them to grow in grace and in knowledge of you and to walk and to choose to walk in your ways. Thank you for them, and I pray that you would bless them, that they could be servants and vessels that you can use as they grow in their walk with you. So I pray a special blessing on them as they help their dad in his calling, and as they support and encourage him too. So again, thank you for them. May you bless them and protect them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Irvin. Right, at this time, I'd ask Brother Larry to come join me with the microphone. Brother Curtis and Alyssa, if you would join me and stand here to my left. The vows, the commitments, the promises that a person makes, a brother makes, is significant. Mine's been some time back, but I still remember them. I vividly remember them, making vows to God in this way. Brother Curtis, the Lord through His church has called you to fulfill the office of deacon among His people. If you're willing to accept this call, please answer the following questions as your vows of submission and faithfulness. Curtis, are you willing to accept this service, and do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself to the work which this office requires of you as a faithful laborer in the Church of Christ?
I am.
And do you promise to give heed to all the teachings of the Word of God, to accept them as the rule and guide of your life, and seek to teach them together with the doctrines, teachings, and forms of worship of the Biblical Mennonite Alliance as far as the duties of the office of deacon shall require of you, and faithfully to abide in them as long as you live?
I do.
Curtis, are you willing to assist in the conducting the church or congregation in which you are called to labor in accordance with instructions and teachings of the gospel, the direction of the Biblical Mennonite Alliance, and the counsel of the church, in all things show yourself an approved servant in the vineyard of the Lord?
I am.
For the sake of our visitors who may not be familiar, the credentials are administered through the Biblical Mennonite Alliance. First and foremost, the relationship that a man makes in his vows is between him and God. Absolutely. And second, to the church family he works with. And in this case, since you're a part of and identify with the Biblical Mennonite Alliance, is why these questions are asked in the way they are. Sister Alyssa, do you accept this call to be a partner in ministry as a responsibility to be fulfilled under the Lordship of Christ, who is the head of the church?
I do.
And are you willing to be supportive of your partner's role and give of your gifts and time in a ministry to the church?
I am.
All right. Thank you for that. I would ask you then both if you would kneel here in the center somewhat. And then I'd also ask the local ministry, Brother Dale and Brother Urban. And we are going to ask Brother Sam to come up. This morning, sort of an oversight, I didn't do that. As a retired minister, he has an invested interest in these people, having worked with them for decades, if I understand right. So we're glad he's here tonight. And I'm going to extend, I don't know everybody that's here. If there is another ordained brother here, please feel free to come up. I do not know, but if they are, you're welcome to come up if you care to. Feel free to come up.
There's a couple of them.
Please feel free to come up if you're ordained brothers.
You've got an offer.
That's right. And the reason why I do this is to offer confirmation to Brother Curtis and Sister Alyssa that these men that are ordained and the work that God has called them to do, are willing to support them. We'll give you the charges this time, and then we'll ask several of these brothers to pray after that. Brother Curtis, upon this confession and these promises which you have made before God and these witnesses, we herewith charge and commission you as a deacon. Serve the Lord and the church faithfully, by teaching and example. Serve the practical needs of those whom you are called to serve, both in the church and without. Brother Larry, would you initiate the prayer? Brother Dale, you would choose to close when you see fit.
Father, we come to you. We thank you for your faithfulness again. We thank you for willing people that make themselves available to work within the church and within the roles of the church and the duties of the church.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray now that you would be with Curtis and Alyssa in this special occasion. Lord, grant to them grace, grant to them strength, grant to them courage, and be close to them. Be with their family. And may this draw them together and bring them closer to you. And in the work of the church, may you be glorified. May you be praised.
Yes, God.
Bless this congregation as they work for your honor and glory. And therefore, we say, thy will be done. And we pray that you would give them the strength they need and give them the guided direction that brings glory to your name.
Father, thank you again for the way that you have led and directed and answered our prayers.
Yes.
Thank you for Curtis and Alyssa and for their willingness to accept this call and to serve the church in this role. And I would just pray a special blessing of grace, wisdom, and peace on their lives. And may you help them as they strive to fulfill that which you have called them to.
Father, we thank you tonight for the way you have moved. We thank you for your love. And God, tonight we thank you for Curtis and Alyssa, their willingness to be used for you. God, I pray that you would bless them with strength, yes, wisdom, that as we, as a group here, can be a light to our community. Just pray that you would bless him with extra strength and grace as he leads out.
Lord, I just thank you for the willingness of Curtis and Alyssa in this way. I just pray a special blessing upon them. Lead them, guide them, go before them. You know the path that you will take them down. I pray that you would prepare the way for them and just help them to be a blessing.
Yes.
Thank you for them.
Thank you, Lord, for this evening. And thank you, Lord, that you love your church the way it is, that you have provided now again a leader to lead on into the future. May your joy be a part of Alyssa and Curtis's life. Again tonight, I pray for their children. May they experience your goodness. May they love you, Lord, with all of their heart. May they be able to take on responsibilities in the future,
yes, God,
even as their dad and their mother is doing.
God, as we are here as a group of men standing here, we've all been where this couple is. Been on our knees. We made a commitment to you, to the church. In the times that have gone, as we did so, as we reflect on that, and as we see this couple, Curtis and Alyssa,
yes,
it would seem as a very holy time and a holy place where they are kneeling and making this commitment. I'm grateful tonight, and I'm really, really glad the way you lead, the way you provide for the church, because this is something that is very special for you. The church is your church, and tonight this is your work. We as men do the best we can, and we thank you for this couple. And pray that I would pray for them, that your blessing, the Holy Spirit, will be in on their behalf to fight for them, to guide them, to comfort them. And Jesus, again, I am so glad for you tonight that you are the Savior.
Yes.
You're the King of the church. You are the Lord of lords. You're the Holy One. And we look to you tonight because you are the one that we worship.
Mm-hmm.
And praise to you that you will help this couple this family, this church. May your blessing be on us. And I do this in your precious name.
Father, tonight, as we come before you just now, that we know that the work of the church is a great work.
Yes, Lord.
And need those who lead out. Thank you that Curtis and Lisa have been willing to fill your calling in this. Thank you, too, for the work of the church in taking part in these important decisions. Bless me, Curtis and Alyssa in their calling. Be with their family, too, in Jesus' name.
Father, we are again so grateful for your leading. We're grateful for the confirmation that you give us. And tonight, as a church family, we pray for Curtis and Alyssa. We ask that you would give them grace, give them courage. God, we know that right now this looks overwhelming. And yet we know that they are only being asked to take one step at a time. And God, we want you to guide them. We want you to guide us. We pray that you would make these years of ministry for them a blessing, that you would fill them with courage, that you would fill them with joy, that they would be able to serve with joy, and that joy would radiate out into their family's life, into the church's life, and into the community as well. Mm-hmm. We pray that as they have made this commitment, God, you would use them.
Help them, God.
Continue to use them as you already have. Maybe in a little different role, but in the same way that they have been serving you. Help us to support them, to encourage them, and to walk beside them as they serve this church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Larry, help us out. Let me help you up, brother. Love you very much. Bless you. And after you ordain men, greet these people. I'd ask those that are visiting to retire to your seats. Please go ahead and greet them. Feel free to. And we'll ask you that are visiting to retire back. And then after that, I'd like to have the spouses of the local ministry team and Brother Sam as retired pastor come up. Thank you for coming tonight. Bless you. Okay, would the spouses of the local team and Brother Sam, as a retired minister, please come up and greet the brother and sister here, if you would, tonight. As a congregation, you have opportunity here at the very close of the service to do the same, and I encourage you to do that. It means a lot to the couple. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for coming up. Appreciate it. This, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'll just give this to him on the way out. Somewhere that, yeah, that may have people. I'm going to ask one more question yet to the church. I'd like to ask this question to the congregation here. I presume I know the answer, but I want to ask the question. You have called Brother Curtis to serve as your deacon, a deacon here. Are you willing to support him in prayer, to be open to receive and give counsel, and walk together in brotherly love in behalf of the church and for God's glory? You may express your affirmative response by standing. You feel you can do that. Those that come here regularly feel comfortable doing that. Bless you for doing that. You'll never know what that means to Curtis and Alyssa. Maybe see it. Thank you. Turn the time over at this point to Brother Dale.
Next weekend, Junior stood in that very same spot. And tonight, he's passing that on to you. Special. Thank you to all of you for coming and joining us in this service tonight. After we stand and sing a closing song, Curtis and Alyssa will stay up here, and you can come by and speak to them, bless them, greet them, give them encouragement as their friends, as church body, and we encourage you to do that. So if you don't mind, maybe keep the center aisle open. I think this morning we kind of balled up right here. If we would kind of use the side, it kind of keeps the center open for the children to run. They need a place to run. But feel free to do that. Take the time to do it. And let's stand. And Brian, which song have you chosen? 669.